At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. We come to you every Wednesday. I'm your host, Claude Harmon. So if you were listening last week, we had Chad Mumum, the executive producer of the new Netflix Full Swing documentary, which drops today. If you hadn't had a chance to go check out that interview, check it out. But the show drops. I'm excited. I think everybody is excited to see it. And I think it's going to give everybody a little bit different kind of perspective on what it's like to be a touring professional. You've got some of the biggest names in the game, a part of the show. So that drops today. I'm going to check it out. And I think everybody should check it out as well. It's a solo episode of the podcast this week. Hopefully going to talk about some stuff that can help you and your game. But first, wanted to talk about and thank our friends at Cobra Puma Golf. As you guys know, I'm a Cobra Puma guy. I've been with the brand for a long time, and I'm just a huge fan of their product. They've got a brand new Aerojet driver, which just dropped. I got mine in December and loved it, put it straight into the bag. They've got three models. You've got the Aerojet, the low spin high launch. You've got the Aerojet LS, which is the low spin high launch, and the Aerojet Max, which gives you the max forgiveness. They've got a bunch of technology in this new driver, the PWR bridge weighting, the advanced aerodynamic design, and the PowerShell hot face. So good aerodynamics. The driver's fast. The ball comes off it quick. I think if you give it a try, you're going to increase some distance, some ball speed. And like all the Cobra drivers, it looks cool. All three are now available for purchase, but want you all to keep an eye on my social because we are going to be doing a little giveaway and we are going to be giving away one of the Aerojets coming up soon. You can learn more and pick up one right now at CobraGolf.com. So I want to thank everybody at Cobra Puma Golf. If you hadn't had a chance to check it out, go check it out. So I wanted to talk today about some of the things that I see constantly in lessons that I give. And it's something that I think is really, really important. I think most golfers are hyper-focused and obsessed with the direction the golf ball is curving, right? How it's curving, where it's going, and things like that. And so one of the things I always ask all of the players that come in and work with me is, listen, tell me what shot you're trying to hit. So a lot of players will come in and say, listen, I'm trying to hit a draw, and then, or I'm trying to hit a fade. And I think it's important, whatever shape you're trying to hit, I mean, I really don't care what shape players hit. I work with players that draw it. I work with players that fade it. But it's important that if you're trying to, let's say you're trying to hit a draw and you pick out what your target is, right? So you set up with a 7-iron, you pick a target out and you say, okay, listen, I'm going to try and hit draws. It's really hyper important. Like it's almost a prerequisite that if you're going to try and hit a draw, the ball needs to start right of your target. The opposite, if you're going to try and hit a fade, the ball needs to start left of your target. And what I see is a lot of players, they're struggling with their game, they're struggling with their swing, and they're struggling to control what the golf ball is doing. And so I'm not really interested at the beginning of a lesson in where the ball is going for a player. I'm more interested if they can start the golf ball in the direction that they need to start it for the shape that they, the player, say they're trying to hit. I see a lot of players that say they're trying to hit draws. The ball kind of starts at the target and then will curve left. You'll see players that say, listen, I want to try and hit fades. The ball will start at the target and then fade to the right. In an ideal world, you would be able to curve the golf ball if you're hitting a draw, if you're hitting a right to left shot. The ideal thing to do would be able to pick a target out, right? Whether you're hitting a fade or a draw, but pick a target out on the driving range and then find a flag. If you're, let's say you're trying to hit draws, if you're trying to hit a draw, find a flag. So we've got our target flag, and then what we're going to do is we're going to pick a flag right of that. I give players a pretty big, what I call window to start the golf ball in, right? So maybe a 5 yard, maybe sometimes even a 10 yard window to the right. And I'll have a player pick out a barrier flag that's right of their target. And then what I ask is, okay, let's put 10 golf balls down. If you tell me you're trying to hit a draw, can we start all 10 golf balls right of your target in a specific window? And again, you can make the window right of your target as big or as small as you want. And that's, believe it or not, that's really, really hard to do for a lot of players. And I think everyone listening would be surprised that that's sometimes really hard to do for players that are trying to compete. They're trying to get on a tour somewhere. They're not at the level that they want to get to, but they're trying to get to that next level. And it's hard for them to consistently start the golf ball where it needs to start for the shape that they're trying to hit. It's hard for them to have good, solid contact in trying to start the golf ball where it needs to for the shape that they're trying to hit it. So I think it's really, really important that maybe switch your focus from, okay, I'm trying to control where the ball is going, and switch it to say, okay, I'm going to try and control where my golf ball is starting. And if you're going to draw it, we need the golf ball to start to the right. I have a lot of players, obviously, I think back in the day, everybody was trying to draw the golf ball. That was kind of the holy grail. I see a lot of players that are trying to compete in high school, in the college, in the mini tour levels, that are trying now to hit fades. I think Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, guys like Colin Morikawa, some of the best ball strikers, some of the best players in the world, are fading the golf ball now. And so I'll see a lot of players saying, listen, I want to try and fade the golf ball. But they struggle to do that because the ball is starting kind of at the target and then it's curving away from the target to the right. So the same thing, if you're trying to fade the golf ball, pick out a target flag, pick out a place where you're trying to have the golf ball end up, then pick that barrier flag left of the target. And again, you can make that as big or as small a window as you want. But I think it's a great way to practice on the driving range. And I think it's a really good way to start to become really, really focused and hone in on where your ball is starting, not where your ball is finishing up. Because as I said earlier, I think everyone is just obsessed with where the golf ball is going. And I think it's much easier to try and focus on where you're trying to start the golf ball. Now, that's going to encompass a lot of things, right? The first thing it's going to you have to get right is you have to figure out where you're aiming. I see a lot of players that I think they aim too neutral, meaning I think I see a lot of players aiming directly at the target, regardless of the shape that they're trying to hit. They're going to aim directly at their chosen target, and then they're going to try and hit a draw from there, then they're going to try and hit a fade from there. And what I see, you know, on a daily basis with players that are struggling is it's almost like they haven't built in any margin for error. There's no kind of bailout. There's no ability to not be perfect. And so if you're trying to hit a fade and you're aiming directly at the target, it can be difficult sometimes to shift that path left enough so that you can start the golf ball left enough. A lot of players, if they're trying to hit draws, will say, listen, I'm going to aim right at the target, and then I'm going to try and start the golf ball to the right and then curve it back to my target. And again, there's no margin for error there. So be careful that you're not aiming what I would call too square. If you're trying to hit a fade, go ahead and give yourself a little room to the left. Go ahead and aim a little bit more to the left. If you're trying to hit a draw, maybe go ahead and close off or aim a little bit more to the right, because I think it's going to help you start the golf ball more right or left of your target, depending on if you're hitting draws or if you're hitting fades. And if you can do that consistently, I feel like that's a good place to start. The other thing is, if you're trying to draw the golf ball, believe it or not, the ideal miss if you're trying to draw the golf ball is a ball that's going to start right of the target and kind of stay right of the target. If you're trying to hit a fade, the golf ball ideally would start left of the target. And if you missed it, it would just start left and stay left. I just see a lot of players that their balls, as they curve, are curving away from their chosen target. So if you're trying to hit a draw, you aim straight at the target. You're going to try and get that downswing a little bit from in to out and swing out to the right. If you don't match the path and the face consistently, the face is going to get active because you're trying to draw it, and then the ball is going to curve. And as it curves, it's curving away from your target. So imagine you're setting up to hit a draw. You want to start the golf ball right of your target. You've got a window of where you're trying to start the golf ball to the right of the flag. You want to be able to start the golf ball right of the flag, curve the golf ball from right to left, and really have the golf ball not get on the other side of your target, get left. And so many players, I think, that are trying to draw the golf ball are struggling with hooks because they're not aiming the right place and they don't have the club face control because of where they're aimed, because of where they're starting the golf ball. The other thing I think it's really important to remember is to hit draws or to hit fades, we need the path and the face both going in the same direction. So if you're going to try and hit a draw, we need you to get the path to the right. And believe it or not, we need to get you to get the face to the right. If you're going to try and hit a fade, we need you to get a path to the left. And then we need to get you a face to the left. And in an ideal world, you would want the path number to be greater than where the face is pointing. So a good example of that is, Dustin Johnson hits fades, right? He fades the golf ball from left to right. And when we look at his launch monitor numbers based off of where he's trying to hit the golf ball from a target standpoint, he kind of lives in the kind of path direction of, with his irons, kind of in the 3 to 4 degrees left range. And his face is then kind of in the 1 to 2 degrees left phase, right? Anytime the path and the face are going to match, the golf ball is going to go straight. So if you zeroed out the path and you zeroed out the face right at your target, Sean Foley, Justin Rose, back 4 or 5 years ago, that was kind of what they were working on. You know, Sean talked a lot about trying to zero everything out, zero out the path, zero out the face, so that the ball just isn't curving a lot. I think that's really, really hard for a lot of players to do. So I think if you can kind of use the idea of, okay, I need to get my path. If I'm drawing it, I need to get my path to the right of the target. And then I need to get my face, the club face, the face needs to point in between the path and the target. If you're trying to fade it, you would want to get that path left, and then the club face at impact needs to be pointing in between the path and the target. Where I think a lot of players struggle, and where I see a lot of players having a lot of curvature, excessive curvature to their golf ball, is the path is going in one direction and the face is going in the opposite direction. We see that a lot with really big slicers of the golf ball. I was giving a lesson the other day to a player. He was probably, in the mid 20 handicap range. He was really struggling with his ball flight. And when we got him on a launch monitor, the path was almost 10, 12, 13 degrees to the left. And as a result of that, the face was pointing 11, 12 degrees to the right of the target. So massively left path, massively right face. And it's very difficult when the path gets that extreme to control what the club face is doing. And that's another thing that I think when you're thinking about your golf swing, let's use the excessive slicer as a good example, right? So this gentleman that I was working with is a big slicer. The irons, he didn't slice obviously nearly as much as the longer clubs. Once he got to the driver, it was very difficult for him to control where the golf ball was going. There were a lot of really high right shots. And that was where that path got really, really excessive one direction. So in this gentleman's case, big path to the left, face to the right, and really struggling to control what the club face is doing at impact because of the extreme path. Now, obviously the holy grail for him would be to hit a draw, right? That's what he thinks he's going to try and do to get out of the shape that he's trying to hit. But rather than try and do that, I just said to myself, okay, and I said to this player, listen, right now you're at 13, you're at 12 left with the path. If we can just cut that path number in half, right, get it down into the single digits, get it down into somewhere around 7, somewhere around 6, somewhere around 5, then you're going to have a much better chance to control what the club face is doing, especially as the clubs get longer, when we're getting into our longer irons, when we're getting into the 3-wood, and then obviously when we're getting into the driver. And I'll see that on the flip side as well. You'll see a player that's fighting the hook, fighting a golf ball that's going way, way left of their target. They're fighting that snap hook, and the path will be excessively to the right. And it's just very hard for players like that to manage what the club face is doing. I think it's really important to remember that the biggest determining factor on where the golf ball is going to end up is where the club face is pointing at impact. Where you as the player point the club face at impact is going to have the biggest determining factor on where the golf ball ends up. Your start lines are largely going to be determined by the path of the golf club. So that's why we see that slicer of the golf ball. We see those divots that get deep. We see those divots that get left. And then what we see is the path is left, but as a result of that, the face is pointing to the right and the golf ball has a lot of curve on it. Let's take a moment to thank 4 Wellness for supporting the show. You guys hear me talk about them every week, and the reason I do that is because I drink their coffee every week. I know lots of people are focusing on health and wellness as we start the new year, but what I love most about their coffee is that there isn't anything artificial in it. No artificial ingredients, sweeteners, creamers, and all the junk that isn't good for you. It's only the good stuff, giving you more energy without typical crashes you get when a lot of your coffee and if you have a lot of sugar in your coffee. Give it a try and use the special code CH3. That code will get you 20% off your order, plus free shipping and a free starter kit worth $30 when you visit 4wellness.com/podcast. Again, that's the code CH3 at 4wellness.com/podcast. So when I see players that have these kind of extreme path numbers, I think it's really easy as an instructor to say, okay, what we've got to do is we've got to address what the club face is doing, right? Because that has a huge determining factor on where the golf ball is going to end up. But what I always try and do is say, okay, well, right now the player is struggling to control what the face is doing at impact, but why are they struggling to control what the face is doing? Why are they feeling like they have to hold on to the golf club through impact? Why are they feeling like they have to release the golf club a lot with their hands to control where the golf ball is going? And I look at the path number, and if the path to me is over, you know, if it's in that high kind of 9-8 range, if it's over 10, it's going to be very difficult for you to manage that face. So I always think in terms of the path numbers, if they are extreme, regardless of they're to the left or if they're to the right, if we can just cut that in half. So what I tried to do with the player that I was talking about with the big path to the left is I said, listen, we were on a launch monitor and I said, all right, you're at 13 right now. If we can get you down into the 6 range, then you're going to be able to somewhat get the path and the face going in the same direction. And then if you can do that, you can then start to control where the golf ball is starting, not focusing on where the golf ball is ending up, focusing on where that golf ball is starting. So I do a drill with players, and whether they're hitting fades or they're hitting draws. And I think it's a really good drill to try because it's going to work on a number of things in your golf swing. So take 10 balls, take 20 balls, take 5 balls, whatever the number is. But I always use a 10 ball. So it's a 10 ball challenge. And we're going to hit a shot and we're going to pick out a target. So if we're, let's say we're trying to fade the golf ball, we're going to pick out our target flag where we want the golf ball to end up. And then I'm going to scan over from the target and work my way left. And I'm going to give the player a window to try and start the golf ball in, okay? And then I'm going to say, okay, so we've got a barrier flag left of our target, and then we've got our target line. And that can be 5 yards, it can be 10 yards. Sometimes it can be even bigger, 15 yards. With a driver, it could be even more. But let's say we're hitting a 7-iron. So I tend to give players kind of about a 10-yard window, 15-yard window left of the target. And so we've got 10 balls, right? And with each ball, there are 3 points available. So there's a total of 30 points for this test, right? Each ball, you've got 3 points. You get a point if you hit the golf ball solid. You get a point if you start the golf ball in the window that you've chosen. And then you get another point if the golf ball stays and curves and moves in that window. So target flag, barrier flag to the left, kind of a border, a sideline or a boundary to the left. If the ball starts in your target window and finishes left of the flag, you don't get a point for that. If the ball starts in your kind of target window and then gets right of the flag, you don't get a point for that. From a solid standpoint, I think everybody kind of has their own version or idea of what their solid shots feel like. So from that standpoint, I just say to players, listen, be honest. Was that a solid shot? Well, give me a number based out of 1 being awful strike and 10 being a perfect strike. Is it a 7? Is it an 8? Is it a 4? Is it a 3? I kind of look at kind of the 5 as kind of the middle ground, right? Anything over a 5, kind of that 5 to 7, it's probably not going to be, it's not going to be awful, but it's not going to be really, really solid. And you can test yourself and judge yourself on this any way possible. You can make this really, really hard. You can give yourself a little bit more leeway. I tend to give players a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I don't really have my own scoring system. I'll ask the player, listen, was that solid? I mean, obviously, I can tell if it was solid or not, but I want to know what that player feels like is solid to them. And so let's say you hit one, it's about a 7, right? Yeah, contact was good. You took a divot, about a 7, about an 8. Okay, you get a point for that. Did it start in that window left of the target if you're trying to hit a fade? Yep, that's where it started. And then did it curve in that window? And what I'm looking for is if the player can consistently start the golf ball if they're trying to hit a fade left of the target in a specific window. If they're trying to hit a draw, can they specifically start that golf ball right of the target in a specific window? And then getting players, I think once you almost kind of put a boundary on players, on students, right? You say, okay, there's the target, and then you've got to find a place either left of it or right of it, depending on the shot that you're trying to hit. But if you're trying to hit a fade, you've got to be able to start the golf ball left of the target. And you have to have the ball curve from left to right in that kind of launch window. And I think if you can start to focus on that on the driving range, one, I think it makes it a hell of a lot easier when we actually get out to the golf course. Because once we get out to the golf course, the biggest difference between the golf course and the driving range is all of the stuff that kind of happens that doesn't happen on a driving range, right? One, when you're on the driving range, you've got as many balls as you want, really. There's not a lot of consequences. And what I think is important for players at all handicap levels is when they're practicing to have consequences built into what the practice is. If there's no kind of consequence, if there's no real kind of task, I think it's one of the reasons why players will say, listen, I hit it okay. I hit it good on the range. But when I get to the golf course, I really, really struggle. I think most people see playing golf as the test, right? I think they say, okay, I'm going to go to the driving range. I'm going to practice. I'm going to work on my technique. I'm going to work on my swing, whatever the things that I'm working on are my technique. And then what I'm going to go do is test them on the golf course. I want players to be testing their technique on the driving range to actually see if anything that you're trying to work on technically in your golf swing is going to work when you actually try and hit golf shots. There's two things when we're hitting golf balls, right? When we're on the driving range and we're working on your technique, if you're working on your backswing, if you're working on your downswing, whatever it is that you're working on from a mechanic standpoint, from a technique standpoint, the way that you're going to practice that is block practice, right? You're going to hit the same shot to the same target over and over and over and over again. There's a lot of repetition. And that is a massive, huge part of improving your golf swing. So everybody is working on their technique, regardless of your handicap level, right? If you're trying to break 100 for the first time, 90, 80, 70, working on your technique is hugely important. Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, Cam Smith, Justin Thomas, they're all trying, Nelly Korda, it doesn't matter who the player is, everyone is trying to work and make their golf swing better from a mechanic standpoint, from a technical standpoint, for the things that they're trying to do when they swing the golf club. So block practice is hugely important for that. Picking out a target, working on a shape, working on whatever you're trying to work on, doing it over and over and over again. But what I think is really, really important is saying in practice, not on the golf course, say, okay, let me go and now get out of technique mode, get out of block practice mode. I'm going to go in and I'm actually going to see, okay, let's say I've been working on trying to take the golf club back a little bit more on the inside because I want to hit a draw. The golf club's been working a little bit outside. That's making my path maybe get a little bit too much to the left. So I'm going to work on trying to hit the golf ball more from left to right, or excuse me, from right to left. I'm going to get that golf club to work a little bit more on the inside. So that's what I've been working on in my block practice, in my technique. Those are the mechanical things, the things that I've been doing with the golf club, all the drills, all the mimics, all the feels, all of that. Massively important and a vital part to improving your golf swing, lowering your handicap, shooting better scores. But there's a second part to this. You have to figure out if anything that you're doing in your technical work is actually going to work when you actually try and execute a shot that has a specific target and has a specific shape and needs to have a specific outcome, right? So block practice, great, but then test your block practice, test your technique and say, all right, what shape am I trying to hit? Let me get my target. Let me get my barrier flag to the right of it. I'm going to give myself a pretty good window. And now I'm going to see if I can start all 10 balls in this window, curve all 10 balls in this window, and make the golf swing that I want to make and hit the golf ball solid. And 30 points on offer for 10 balls. And at the end of it, say, okay, let's say I got 15 points. It's half. Okay. What wasn't good? Was it the quality of the strike? Was my contact bad? Was I hitting it fat? Was I hitting it thin? Was I not able to take that kind of ball turf divot? Was I not able to start the golf ball in the window that I'm trying to for the shape that I'm trying to hit, right? That's going to show you what the path of the golf club is doing. If you can't start the golf ball consistently in the window, that's going to be largely down to what the path is doing. And then, okay, where is the ball ending up? If I'm trying to hit a draw here, is the ball, am I hitting kind of push blocks? Are the balls starting right of my target and then going further to the right? Are the balls starting right of my target, but then going massively to the left of my target? So in what I was talking about earlier, to draw the golf ball and or to fade the golf ball, we need the path and the face both going in the same direction. So if you're trying to hit a draw, and let's say you get that path to the right, if you're on a launch monitor and you're able to look at that and say, okay, got the path around 4 to the right. If the face is 6 degrees to the right, where's the golf ball going to go? It's going to go right of your path. If the path of your golf club is, let's say, 4 degrees to the right, and the face is pointing 2-3 degrees to the left, the golf ball is going to go to the left because that's where you're pointing the club face. If the club face is coming in open at impact even if the face, even if the path is to the right, the golf ball is going to go to the right. So I think that drill, the 10 ball drill, 30 points on offer, you get a point for hitting it solid. You get a point for starting it in a specific window, either left or right of your target if you're trying to hit a draw or if you're trying to hit a fade. And then can you from there manage what the club face is doing? Now, let's say, as I said, let's say you've got 30 points on offer and you only get 15. All right. Then you say, okay, what wasn't good there? Was it the contact? Was it the start line? Was it the club face? Okay. Whatever one it was, go back into block practice and say, okay, I need to work this part of it. If it's contact, okay, I need to make my contact better. What can I do to make my contact better? Do I need to get my weight more forward on my lead leg? Do I need with an iron to hit more down on the golf ball so I can get that good compression feeling? Do I need to maybe get a little bit more shaft lean? If it's the path, if I'm trying to hit a draw and my ball isn't starting in the window that I wanted to, maybe my path isn't to the right enough. Maybe I need to shallow out the club a little bit more. If I am unable to, if I've got the start line good, but I'm unable to get the golf ball to go where I want to, if it's curving too much, that's me being needing to kind of control what the face is doing. Maybe I need to feel like I'm using less of my hands. A lot of times when people are excessively hooking the golf ball, they're hitting a lot of golf balls that are going left of their target. I'll have players say, okay, first of all, just try and feel like you're not doing anything with your hands, right? You're going to try through impact to feel like the club face is coming in a very, very square, neutral position. You're not going to feel a lot of excessive wrist action. And for hookers of the golf ball, believe it or not, when we try and get them to feel like they're not doing anything with their hands, that's when they're actually able to hit more of a draw shape. And I always find that really, really kind of an epiphany moment for a player. The player says, okay, I want to hit draws. I've been hitting a lot of hooks. Now you're telling me to not do anything with my hands and I'm able to get the shape, the little high draw that I want. Well, the reason that happens is if the path is to the right, all you're doing is just controlling what the club face is doing.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're trying to hit fades, I see a lot of players right now trying to hit fades from what I said earlier. They're trying to hit a fade from a very neutral position. They're aiming directly at the target, and the path is very neutral. And I think right now there's a big rage where everybody is trying to feel like the golf club is shallowing out. It's hard to hit fades if the golf club is coming in a really shallow position. So if that angle of attack is getting very, very shallow, but that's not conducive to hitting fades. Again, using Dustin Johnson as an example, DJ, when he hits his fade, let's say it's a 6-iron, he's normally kind of in that 3, 3.5, maybe 4 degrees left with the path. The face is kind of right around 1, 1.5, maybe 2 degrees left. And he's hitting down on it. He's hitting down on his 6-iron in that 5 to 6 down region. He's not trying to shallow it out. When, in my opinion, the two faders that I work with, both Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, when they're struggling to fade the golf ball, when they're struggling with the start line, when the ball's starting at the target, curving too much to the right, normally it's because the path, the downswing path, has gotten too close to zero. It's gotten too neutral. It's not left enough. So I understand that there are exceptions to all of this, right? But as a general rule, if you want to fade the golf ball, you need to get the path to the left. If you want to draw the golf ball, you need to get the path to the right. I think that that's a good place to start. How much you get the path, those directions, that's dependent on what you do. But I do think if you have the ability to get on a launch monitor, I do think it's important to stand there with a 7-iron, get some baselines of hit 10, 20 shots and say, okay, what is my average here? What is the average of where my path is? And if the path is really, really neutral and it's really close to kind of the zero line, really close to your target line, unless you are a really, really good player, right? A low single digit scratch golfer, unless you've got a lot of speed, the closer you get to zero, the closer you're swinging towards your intended target, it becomes really, really difficult to manage what the club face is doing. So I think it's important that you pick a start line that allows you some room to be able to curve the golf ball. And then in your practice sessions, you can, that's a good way to teach yourself how to curve the golf ball, right? Okay, I'm going to imagine a lot of times that you've got your target flag. Imagine that's a tree and you're going to try and curve the golf ball around that. Well, to do that, you would have to get the ball to start to the right. If you're going to try and hit a ball around a tree left to right, it's important that you're able to start the golf ball where it needs to. On our driving range, sometimes what I'll do, I had a player the other day that was really struggling with trying to draw the golf ball, and the ball was tending to start left. Every time he'd try and draw it, he'd come over it a little bit. So what I did is I took him over, there's a little area to the far left of our driving range, and there are, it's tree lined, and there are some trees that kind of stick out. So I put him over in a corner and I said, okay, you now have to curve the golf ball from right to left around this tree. The tree was probably about 50, 60 yards in front of him. I mean, it could be 100 yards in front of you, but you've got to get the golf ball to start and curve around this object, this obstacle in front of you. So when you actually put something in front of the player that forces them to actually have to curve the golf ball, then it becomes a big barrier. It's a big visual, right? You've got to curve it and hook it around a tree. Well, where does the path need to be for that? But as I said earlier, I think that where the ball is starting for me is more important than where the golf ball is going, where the miss is. And so that's where I think as players, having an idea and having good, real good control over where the ball is going to start for the shape that you're trying to hit. And then trying to keep those. So if you're a drawer of the golf ball, you're trying to hit draws, you're trying to start the golf ball right of your target, you're trying to have it curve from right to left, and you don't really want the golf ball curving on the other side of your target to the left. Same thing if you're trying to hit fades. You want that golf ball starting left of your target. You want that golf ball starting left, curving from left back to the right, but not getting across the target, not getting across your target flag to the right. And then if you can get those feelings and if you can get that good understanding as what the path is doing and what the face is doing, I think it's a much easier way to be able to go out and repeat it. If you and the 10 ball drill, where you've got the 10 balls, there's 3 points on offer for each ball. So there's 30 points available. You get a point for hitting it solid. You get a point for where the ball is starting, and you get a point for how the golf ball is curving. If you don't have access to a launch monitor, that's a good way to say, okay, well, what is my path and what is my face doing? If I can consistently start the golf ball left of my target, if I'm trying to hit a fade, my path is probably going to be where it needs to be. If I can start the golf ball consistently to the right of my target, based off of a little bit of where I'm aiming, then that's going to show me what the path is doing. And then whichever direction the golf ball is going from there, the golf ball's going to the left, the face is closed. If the golf ball is going to the right, the face is open. And it really, believe it or not, can sometimes be that simple. And in a lot of lessons, I had a player come in. He's trying to play. He played college golf. He's trying to play some mini tour golf. Obviously, he wants to get on PGA Tour Latin America, get on PGA Tour Canada, get on the Asian Tour, get on the European Tour. And he was trying to hit draws. And the start line was just all over the place. He just didn't have the ability to consistently start the golf ball where he needed to start it for the shape that he was trying to hit it. And part of that was due to the fact that it was a struggle with the path and it was a struggle with the face. But once I just basically, because he's an accomplished player. He's trying to play professional competitive golf for a living. So his golf swing wasn't really that bad, but he was hyper-obsessed with his golf swing. He was hyper-obsessed with all of these positions. And once we kind of got him out of that mode, right, of just being technique, 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 can you start the golf ball right of your target to hit me some draws? And once we got him focused on it, then all of a sudden his golf swing didn't really become the issue. Then he was able to say, oh, okay, maybe it's not my golf swing. Maybe it's just I don't pick out where I'm trying to start the golf ball and I don't really have good control over where the golf ball is starting. I think that is massively, massively important. Where your ball is starting, controlling the start line. I think if everybody listening improves their start line for 2023 and improves their control of their start line for the shape of the shot they are trying to hit, I think that is going to be a huge, huge win. I think it can fix a lot of the contact issues, but it can definitely fix some of the issues in how much the golf ball is curving and your ability to control the curve of the golf ball. As I said, there's exceptions, but I think that's a good blueprint. I think that's a good place to start. And I think if you can start there, I think you can start to hit the golf ball a lot more solid. So thanks everyone for listening. If you're a new listener, don't forget to go back and listen to all the pods that we have. We've got some really good guests. We've got some great topics. I want to thank everyone for listening. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.